One of the wonderful things about the biblical writers is the sense that they convey that we are all in a constant state of process, of becoming. They realize in their writings that our God is a God who is continually creating. That God's gift of grace is continually moving through us, and that whenever a person is open to this living, creative power that we call God, that person is able to feel this expansion, the sense of movement within. That person is able to experience the life-giving grace of God most fully. It does not yet appear what we shall become. That's what the Apostle John wrote. Now, if ever there was anyone who had the right to think that he himself was a finished product, it should have been the Apostle Paul. After all, he wrote a large segment of the New Testament, and yet we discover that at the very end of his life, he still had that feeling in his old age of being in process. A man who is still in the process of becoming, still growing, still learning. And you will find in that remarkable passage at the end of the letter that he wrote to the Philippians while he was in jail, about to be executed as a martyr for Christ. The letter conveys the sense of a man who is not at all set in his ways or over the hill. The contrary. In that letter, Paul writes, "Forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what still lies ahead, I press on toward the goal." And those wonderful words, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." Those words can apply and should apply to each one of us. There is a contemporary religious musical entitled Kids Under Construction. Now, the cast is mainly made up of children, but there are some adults in the play. In it, you cannot help but notice what we should notice in everyday life, that children have this innate sense of always being a work still in progress. Children are curious about everything. They want to experiment. If they fall down, they simply get up and start all over again. And they seem to anticipate coming events with a certain kind of enthusiasm. They have a built-in kind of sense of always moving forward to what they seem to consider always something wonderful ahead. Now, we adult people, no matter how old we are, with gray or silver or blue hair, we are able to identify with those children because we ourselves at one time were children. What is so sad is that as we grow older, for many of us, somewhere along our journey of life, we seem to have lost that magic sense of enthusiasm. Somewhere along the line, we settle down to a routine of monotony. We start to go downhill. We stop growing. And of course, we give in to that old maxim, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Now, that, of course, is a lie, but the trouble is, we seem to buy it and apply it to ourselves, and we give up to any kind of an attempt to learn new tricks in our lives. We become, as so often we hear, set in our ways. It's a terrible thing for a human being to have that said. It sounds as if we were in concrete that already had hardened. that nothing any longer is able to stir us up. Nothing new can happen to us, we feel. Nothing can ever help us change our attitude towards something more positive. Some of us, in fact, seem, instead of being under construction, we act as if we were under demolition. It's as if we were sitting around in our set ways, simply waiting for the last hammer blow to strike, waiting for the next problem to arise that is going to take even more of life out of us. In that marvelous play by John Osborne, Look Back in Anger, there's a character called Jimmy Porter who complains about those people who are so set in their ways. The attitude, he says, that is so prevalent. And he says in the play, how I do long, once in a while, to hear just some good, ordinary human enthusiasm. He says, I long so much to hear the warm, thrilling voices of people who sing. He would be happy if he were here, even on Saturday afternoon when some of you are tired. Your singing would fulfill his wish. Whatever those New Testament writers are writing about, it is clear that they're trying to give us a reason not to feel that we are ever over the hill, no matter how old we are. This shutting down process of growing in our life really is so unnecessary. And not only that, it is thoroughly unbiblical. The journalist Neil Morgan wrote a touching testimonial to his father, who happened to be a combination Baptist preacher and a journalist, and he died at the age of 100. Now, the old man, Morgan, had a passion for justice. And whenever he went into the pulpit, he became the outspoken community conscience. And besides that, he was constantly writing letters to the editor, protesting any kind of injustice in the community, calling for change, positive. He also was a constant visitor to the people that he knew who were sick, shut-ins. And at the age of 97, he continued his ministry from his bed of mailing cheery postcards by the thousands to the people he thought would appreciate just a note of encouragement, and he would sign each one of them S.L. Morgan, aged 97 and a half. In his own son's words, in the last 2 months before his 100th birthday, he was lying in bed, but they could no longer speak nor write, but some inner strength kept him alive. And on the big day, his family gathered around the bed and many of his friends, and the son wrote, there at bedside, I shouted at my father, you are 100 years old today. Now the hoarse whisper, the old father said, say it again. You don't mean it, he said. And finally, he began to shake. His frail body began to shake with laughter, simply because he had won his last fight. And then 11 months later, at the funeral, an old friend stood up at graveside to speak about what kind of a force it was that sustained this man. And he said, no matter what the scope of one's influence is, anyone and everyone must learn how to live true to the vision of what life is about with a positive attitude and leave the rest to God. And the son said, as he looked into the grave and saw the casket disappear, he realized he was clutching the last letter that his father had written to him. And what he said in that letter, the father said, I think it is good to be a reporter who preaches a little and a preacher who reports a little. Either way, he said, we meet the truth head on. Now that's what Jesus says today. Jesus says the truth is met head on in the story of these two good men. Now remember, they were two good men. One even tithed. I like him very much. Thank you, doctor. Now, there in the church praying, one of them, the Pharisee, looks around, and he recognizes the fact that he is a very decent fellow. He does go to church every Saturday afternoon, he does tithe, and he prays and he fasts. The other man is also a very decent fellow, but his prayer is different. He simply says, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The second man is the one who went home justified, more at least than the Pharisee. The Pharisee, you see, exalted himself because he was self-satisfied. He was set in his ways. He saw that there was no need for him to change in his life. He was, as it were, denying the possibility, the gift, that the grace of God could shake him up, stimulate him to even further growth in his life. He could go beyond tithing, as it were. The other man was not satisfied. He said, "Be merciful," and recognized that he is a sinner. But above all, he was not set in his ways. He is open to the powerful gift that God is always willing to give us if we are open to be able to be more positive toward the gift of our life. All of this applies to each one of us. If we now, no matter how old we are, set in our ways, would like to experience, and that is the word, to experience this new life that the risen Christ is offering each one of us, all we need do is be like the Apostle Paul. Forget, try to forget what lies behind us and strain forward to what lies ahead. Secure in the knowledge that we can do all things in Him who strengthens us. Alone, we can do nothing, but we can do all things in Him who strengthens us. Thank you.
Let us pray. Having heard God's merciful word, let us offer our prayer in confidence that the poor and the oppressed of the world may always find their home in the community of the Lord's disciples. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the Lord may bless families' efforts to live in peace, in harmony.